and verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24. Amen. The Bible says here, it says, "Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" There's two things that God says in this scripture. He says, first of all, can any hide himself, or can anybody hide themselves in a secret place where God cannot see him? And then he says, because you can't hide, because I fill all heaven and earth. And so I want to preach this simple title. If you go to the next slide there, Brother Jeff, can anyone hide from God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word today. Lord God, that we would hear what you would say to us. Lord, you would speak to that soul that is hungry and in this place today. Lord, that you would speak words of life and words of hope to their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to see guests here today. If you're a guest with us, we are very thankful that you're with us. Also, Sister Annalise is with us also, attending church a long time ago with us, but good to see her back. Can anyone hide from God? Can anyone hide from God? There's three theological words that you often hear around church, and it's these three words: omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. Anyone ever heard those words around church? I'm sure there's some people that even use them and don't even know what they mean. But they sound very, very important. And yes, they are. They're all attributes of God. You see, these three attributes of God: his omnipotence, his omniscience, and his omnipresence are all attributes. It means that God is all-powerful. If you know the word potent, it means powerful. It means that he is omnipotent. He is he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God has all power. He is the supreme power. When we say that God is omnipotent, we're saying that God is not limited by our physical limitations. We as human beings have physical limitations, but God is not bound by the physical limitations like man. He is omnipotent. He has power over the wind. He has power over the water. He has power over gravity. He has power over science and physics. He is all powerful, and his powerful is infinite, and his power is limitless. Everyone say omnipotence. You need to learn a new word for some of you. And now I can't really say this one. It's like omniscience, omniscience. I'm going to say that anyway. That means that God knows everything. God knows everything. He's all-knowing. And when I say that he is all-knowing, it doesn't just mean that he knows what's happening now, but he is all-knowing. It encompasses the past, it encompasses the present, and it encompasses the future. God knows everything, whether it be past, whether it be present, and whether it be future. He is all-knowing. His knowledge is total. He knows all that there is to know, and God knows all that there can be to know. Everybody say all-knowing. Then this last word, omnipresent, means that God is all-present. That term means that God is everywhere. God is capable of being everywhere at the same time. That's why God's presence can be here in our service, and he can be in another city in Canberra, another city in Australia. He can be over in another country. God can be everywhere because he is omnipresent. So let's think about those three things, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, that God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and that God is everywhere. Now, if we're to ask ourselves the question, which is the title of our message today, can anyone hide from God? We've probably already answered the question. Because these are attributes of God. And if God is all-powerful, if God knows everything, and if God can be everywhere at the same time, then nobody can hide from God. And that's what Jeremiah said when he was quoting the words of the Lord. He said, can any man hide himself from God in the darkness? Because God is everywhere all the time. And so there are times when we think that God cannot see us. But I want to remind you that God is omnipresent. There are times when you going through a difficult situation or a trial, you may say that God just doesn't understand or God just doesn't know. I want to tell you that he is omniscient. That means that he is all-knowing. And there's times when you may face a situation in your life when you just come to the end of your resources. You come to the end of what you can do. You come to the end of your strength. There's no other options, even in your best mind and your best thinking. You can't think what to do. You may even think it's beyond God. But I want to tell you that he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, and he can do anything. And so, knowing these three things about God, that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present, that should transform the way we live our life. That should, knowing that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present, it should transform our prayer life. These attributes of God and the knowledge of these attributes of God should transform so many aspects of our life. Because God is always there. He always sees. He always knows. And God is always able. Amen. Our God is able. God knows. He is powerful. He knows everything. Now, there's something that's quite scary, and it's what we call stalking. Everyone say stalking. Stalking is a crime in Australia. And stalking includes following a person around or watching or frequenting a person's place of residence, where they live, where they work, or even frequenting a place where somebody else frequents. That's stalking. And I saw a funny definition of stalking. It said stalking is when two people go on a romantic walk together, but only one knows about it. That's a bit scary. But stalking is not a very nice thing, but when somebody is stalking somebody, they are persistent. They are trying as best they can to maintain contact with someone. And because of their actions, this action of stalking can cause distress. It can cause people to lose control. It can cause them to be fearful and feel like they're being harassed when this stalking happens. The person being stalked may only realize that they're actually being stalked once they identify this strange pattern or suspicious incidents occurring over and over again, and they realize something's happening here. I think I'm being stalked by somebody. Maybe it's those random phone calls where the phone's just dead on the end of the line. Maybe it's text messages from an unknown number, but they seem to know a little bit about you. Maybe it's messages left on social networking sites, or maybe even worse, you come back to your car after work and there's a note left on your car. Or maybe you come home and there's flowers at your door, but there's this awareness that I'm being followed by somebody. Maybe you're walking through the shops and you realize that there's this person that's always there and they always seem to be staring at you. Sounds scary, doesn't it? A stalker makes it their business to know your business. A stalker knows when a person's home, knows the size of their clothes, sends stuff to them on important dates, notes and reminders. They send gifts to places where they are trying to hide. They make it their business to know your business, and they are called a stalker. They may never harm you physically, but they are compelled. Their reason for living is they are compelled to be a constant reminder to you that they are there. They want you to know that they are always watching and that they always know and they're always going to be around because they are a stalker. Now, I looked up some stalkers, and there's been some famous stalkers through history stalking some of our celebrities. And the vast majority of stalkers these days are those with which somebody at one time had been romantically involved with. Stalkers very often are forgotten lovers. Everyone say a forgotten lover. The stalker, the forgotten lover is unwilling to give up on the relationship. So they follow the person everywhere they go. They want to be a reminder. They stalk them, following in the shadows, following in the darkness of the night, watching them. You see, the lover becomes a stalker. And so a lot of stalkers, they're actually just people that were once romantically involved and they're just not ready to let go. You see, sometimes stalking is nothing more than love that just won't let go. And it's funny, maybe frightening, to think that something so scary can be caused by love. This intense terror that somebody feels when that they're being stalked, that it actually began with intense love. But you know, there was one original stalker, and that was in the Garden of Eden. It also was love that just wouldn't let go. In the Garden of Eden, I don't know everything that happened there with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but I do know that the Garden of Eden was a place of peace and it was a place of love. Adam was given dominion over everything. Adam could do what with everything, with whatever he liked with it. It was his. He was given dominion over every animal. He was given dominion over everything in the garden. God said to Adam, he said, Adam, you have dominion over everything in the garden. And so Satan came to Adam as a serpent. Now you need to remember this. Satan came to Adam as a serpent. I already told you that God had given him dominion over the animals. He didn't have to succumb to that serpent because he had been given dominion over the animals. He had divine dominion. He didn't have to succumb to the tricks of the enemy. And so Eden was a beautiful place. Everything that they needed was there. They didn't have to pay a price for it. It was there and it was just for them. But most of all, it wasn't just a place of provision, but it was a place of love. It wasn't just Adam and Eve. It was a love affair between God and man. The Garden of Eden was a love affair between deity and humanity. And God, the Bible said, walked with Adam in the cool of the day. The Bible says that Adam and God were communicating. There was a love affair between deity and humanity. And God was not afraid to talk to man, and man was not afraid to talk to God. God could touch man in the Garden of Eden, and man could touch God. And I do know from the scriptures, though, that there came a day when a new relationship entered into the heart of humanity. Satan came to Adam and Eve at that tree, and he enticed them into sin. And at that point, a new relationship entered into the heart of humanity, because mankind sinned. They disobeyed God. And for what happened there, it severed the cord of faithfulness. It severed that cord of faithfulness that linked the heart of humanity and the heart of deity. Adam and Eve realized that they made a mistake. While they could have gone looking for God, what did they do? They realized their nakedness and they ran and hid from God. You see, this is what happens a lot, even today, and even to people that are sitting here this morning. There have been times when you have made a mistake, when you have failed God and you have sinned, and all along God is wanting you to come to Him. But instead, out of our shame and out of our guilt, we run and we hide from God. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They ran and they hid from God because they realized, they said, you know, things will never be the way that they used to be. Somehow they realized that things have changed, and they had a guilt over what they had done. How can I face God? How can I explain what happened when God has blessed us with this garden? There was so much that He had provided for us, and we would walk and talk together in the garden, but now we have failed God. How can I explain to God what happened? The Bible says they tried to run away. They tried to cover themselves with leaves. Everyone say fig leaves. I could stop just here for a moment. Summer's coming along soon. If fig leaves weren't good enough for a covering in the Bible, they're not good enough today. And some of the swimwear out there these days is even worse than fig leaves. They were probably modest compared to some of the people getting around today. But fig leaves was their idea of covering their sin. It was their good intentions. And sometimes we try to think we've got good intentions and we can cover our sin with our good intentions, but good intentions were never enough. They tried to hide themselves from God. They tried to find peace in the darkness. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you tried to run from God and find that peace in the darkness. You've tried to hide. But Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of God. Every time when something sinful rises up in humanity, there is still a tendency to try and hide from God. Hiding from the presence of God. We go from the light to the darkness and just trying to get out of the sight and out of the reach of God. We make a mistake and we say, I've got to run, I've got to hide. And so they thought that they had covered their tracks. But just when they thought they were hidden, and just when they thought they had escaped from God, guess what? The stalker of the ages came looking for them. Maybe they thought God would never find them because we're in darkness. God will never find us. God doesn't know where we are. We're in darkness. But then they heard that sound, that shuffling through the garden as love's heart was broken. As love's eyes began to look, they heard God shuffling through the garden. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? The lover became the stalker, pursuing the person, Adam and Eve, who had tried to find refuge in the darkness. Pursuing his lover, who had tried to hide in a dark place. The lover became a stalker. Adam, where are you? I'm looking for you. While many of us would be scared today to hear the voice of a stalker, that voice of God was not a voice of fear. It was a voice of love. Adam, where are you? I will not leave you alone in your sin. I will not leave you alone in the darkness. Adam, I'm going to leave reminders about how it used to be. Adam, you can walk away, but you cannot hide, because Adam, I love you and I will not let you go. Maybe there's somebody here today who has made mistakes, who has shame in their heart and trying to hide in the darkness from God. You have a choice today to live for God. You have a choice. Your soul is a free agent. You have a choice. You can walk away from God right now, or you can go to God if you want. Whatever you want, your soul is a free agent. You can walk away, but before you do, let me remind you of something today. You can give up on God, but that doesn't mean he's going to give up on you. Anybody say thankful for that? Now I'm thankful. Your love for God may diminish, but I want to tell you today that God's love will never diminish for you, because love is not something that God does. Love is something that God is. We get this attitude, I think I talked about it a few weeks ago. You know, the girls, when they'd pick up the dandelions in the playground and they would pull the leaves off as they go around, they'd say, he loves me. They're trying to figure out if their boyfriend loves them, all right? They got a crush on this guy and they're like, I wonder if he loves me. So they pick a dandelion and the dandelion has many leaves and they pull the petals. And they pull the petals off, and the last one they pull off is the truth. So they pull the first one, he loves me. They pull the next one, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. When they get to the last one, he loves me. You know what? He really loves me. And some people are like that with God. They pull the petals off. They say, when I do the right thing, he loves me. When I make a mistake, he loves me not. When I come to church, he loves me. And when I fail, he loves me not. So we get this attitude that we say, when we're doing good things, God loves us. And when we're failing him, that he doesn't love us. But throw that dandelion away, because God only has one petaled flowers in his garden. And that is, God is love. He loves you. And so your love for him may diminish. But let me tell you, he's a stalker. He's never gonna let you go. His love is never gonna change. You can't hide from God in the darkness. You can be unfaithful to him, but let me tell you, he will always be faithful to you. He'll be there in the morning. He'll be there in the night. He'll be there when you cry. He'll be there, because he is the stalker. He'll be there all the time. You cannot hide from God. A little while ago, I spoke with someone at the church here, and they were recently baptized. They said to me, Pastor, they said, I couldn't just keep coming to church and God speaking to me every single week. God was just speaking to me. I said to my friend, that was a great message. It just seems like God is speaking to me. Every week I come here, God has a message for me. God is speaking directly into the circumstances in my life. It's like God is pursuing me. It's like God knows exactly where I am. And that's exactly right. And they said, you know what? I can't just stand rebellious anymore. I need to give my heart to God. I need to be obedient to God. God has been calling your name time after time after time. Maybe it's you today and it's time to answer his call. Maybe it's time to give your life to him today. Maybe it's time to answer him and say, God, I love you and I want to be obedient to your word. Maybe God has been pursuing you and it's time to submit yourself and finally be baptized in his name. To take that next step of commitment and put yourself all in your walk for God. Let me tell you, he loves you. He will be more faithful to you than you ever want him to be. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And before you walk out on God, I want to tell you this. He is the stalker of the ages, and he will never let you go. You can run, but you can't hide, because nobody can hide from God. There was a guy who tried to hide from God in the Bible. His name was Jonah. Jonah tried to run and he tried to hide from God. Maybe you've been like that, caught up in your own opinions. That's what Jonah was. He was caught up in his own opinions and the way that he thought he should go and all of this, and he was rebellious. He tried to run. He tried to hide from God. And Jonah chapter 2 verse 2, look at this. He ends up in the belly of a whale. And this is what Jonah says. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. Let me tell you, God is not far from any one of us. If you cry out to God, he will hear your voice. And I know he was in the belly of a whale, but it was like hell in there. And he said, even in a situation where it feels like hell, I cried out to God and he heard my voice. You can't hide from God. Ahab was a sinner. Ahab killed an innocent man. But God was watching his every move that he made. He tried to hide his sin. He tried to cover it up. And God speaks to Elijah. And Elijah goes to Ahab and says, Ahab, I want to tell you something. You've killed somebody. God was saying, Ahab, you cannot hide. I know, I want you to know, Ahab, that I am here and you cannot hide from me. You see, you can leave God, you can try to leave God in the church, but let me tell you, God will never leave you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so I don't care how far you go, I don't care how fast you run, God will be there. God will never leave you behind. He will always be there. David said it like this. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Call me or follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You cannot hide from God. Psalm chapter 139. Please turn there in your Bibles now. I'm going to read from verse 7. David says this. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can I go to depart from your spirit, God? Where can I go to run away from your presence, God? David says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I shall say, surely the darkness shall cover me. If I can just find a dark place, if I can just hide in the darkness, David says, even if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. Look at this. Even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. I want you to look carefully at verse 11 and 12. It says, David says, surely I can hide in the darkness, but when I try to hide in the darkness, even the dark becomes light. And he says that darkness can't hide from God, but even the night shineth like the day. And the darkness and the light with God are exactly the same. the darkness and the light. See, you cannot hide in the darkness because God is there. God is pursuing you. Now, verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, look at this. He says, I cannot escape from you, God, from your spirit. I can't escape from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, make my bed in hell, you're there. You know, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you're there also. I can't go anywhere where you're not there, God. Now look at this, verse 12 in the context of that. Then David says, darkness doesn't hide from thee. The night shineth as the day. The only way for darkness to shine like the day is for God to bring his light into your darkness. The Bible says, God is light. And see, when God is there in the darkness, it is true, as David said, the darkness or the night shineth like the day, because God will pursue you even into the darkness. You cannot hide from God. When you get into the darkness, God's right there. He brings his light and the darkness begins to shine like light. And the darkness and the light are both the same to God. Even in the darkness, you cannot run from God. You can run away from the preacher. You can run away from the church. But God is still there. The love of God will chase you until the day that you die. And I believe that God is speaking to somebody today. And you have thought that you could go and you could run and you could hide in the darkness. But today God is using this preacher to tell you, you cannot hide from God. This God is using this preacher to tell you that God loves you and he's not going to give up on you. God is there. He's the lover of your soul. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. If we turn there. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. It says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Everybody say everlasting. An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. While others may love you today and abandon you tomorrow, God's love never changes. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Paul writes about love when he writes, for I am persuaded, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Are you thankful for that today? Clap your hands to the Lord. Paul is covering all bases. He says, there is nothing you can do to get away from God's love. Nothing can separate you from God. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Love is not something that God does. It is who he is. And because of who he is, God loves me. Everybody, just point yourself and say, God loves me. Some of you have to say, God loves even me. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He will be there when you need him. You cannot hide from God. So today, he needs to be your all. He needs to be your everything. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows that you have turned your back on him. He knows if you are running. He knows that you made a mistake and a bad choice. He's the stalker. in the darkness. Family may forsake you, but God will never stop loving you because there is nobody like Jesus. Let me tell you, his capacity to love you is far bigger than your capacity to hurt him. Somebody needs to hear that. His capacity to love you is far bigger than your capacity to hurt him. You don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't understand what I've done. I'm sitting here. I'm feeling so heavy and these things. You don't know what I've done. Let me tell you, I don't know what you've done, but you don't know how big my God is. You say, oh, you don't know, Pastor, what I've been involved in. If anybody even here knew what I've been involved in lately, let me tell you, you don't know how forgiving my God is. You say, you don't know what I've done to my family and all the people that I have hurt. I want to tell you that obviously then you don't know what Jesus did for you at Calvary in dying for your sins. Wherever you walk, mercy is following you saying, I love you. Wherever you go, grace is right behind you saying, I love you and I will not let you go. You can't hide from God. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and something that greatly offended the self-righteous Pharisees. To help them understand something and why he would try to befriend and choose to befriend these people, Jesus told them three very moving stories. Turn to Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read all the stories, but you can see them there. He told them three very moving stories that illustrated God's love. The first story was about the 99 and the one. Next slide. The 99 and the one. About the shepherd who had 100 sheep that he cared for. And when one wandered away, the shepherd left the 99 to find the missing one. You know, a lot of people these days would say, we've still got 99. What's one? But Jesus told him this story. He said, this is how much I love people. He said, I will leave the 99 in safety, and I'll go and find the one that is lost. The one percenter. The one out of 100 that is lost. The one out of 100 that is hurt and in danger. The shepherd would go. The shepherd left the 99 to find the missing one. After that story about the 99 and the one, Jesus went on to tell the story about the 10 coins and how one coin was lost. About the widow who had these 10 valuable coins. When she lost one, the Bible says she looked everywhere. The Bible says she lifted up the carpets. She tore the house apart until she found the one coin. God cares about the 1%. He cares about the 10%. That one coin. And then he told the story that is so familiar to all of us. And that is the story about the father and two sons. We call it the story of the prodigal son. But it's more than just a story about a prodigal son. It's a story about a loving father. It's a story about an older brother. And it's a story about a prodigal son. But the prodigal son, this last story that Jesus tells, is about a father who had two sons. And when one son left home, the father waited daily for him to return. He waited daily. And maybe you're here today and God's been waiting for you. You've been out making mistakes and running, living a riotous life, but God is waiting. He'll leave the 99 for the one. He'll turn the house upside down for the one coin. The father waits daily for the two sons. And what unites all of these stories, the one thing that is in common between all of these stories in Luke chapter 15 is that when the searcher, the shepherd, the widow, or the father, when the searcher found what they had been looking for, they had a party. Everybody say a party. They threw a party to celebrate. They told their friends, they told their neighbors, they told the loved ones. They said, the one that I lost has now been found. Let me tell you, you can never hide from God. Surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. And maybe this morning you're that one. Maybe you've been trying to hide from God. Maybe you've tried to not just, you know, stop attending church, but you thought, if I can just get into the darkness, if I can just get so far away from God and start doing some things that I know God doesn't like, that eventually He'll just leave me behind. Let me tell you, Jonah said, if I cry out of the belly of hell, you're still going to hear me. David said, if I make my bed in hell, let me tell you, there's nothing that you can do right now that is going to stop God pursuing you, because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and you cannot hide from God. Let's all stand in this place this morning. God is watching every moment of every day. He's searching the wild, the dark night, to save you. Like the widow this morning, He's moving the furniture. He's used a preacher. He's used a worship service. He made it so that you were in the house of God to hear His word this morning. No coincidence, because God is searching and God loves. God is watching every moment of every day, waiting for you to return home, because you cannot hide from God. Let's just lift our hands right now.